Will you please stand for the reading of the gospel from Luke chapter 2, and we'll be reading beginning at verse 41. Each year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to their custom. After the festival was over, they were returning home, but the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't know it. Supposing that he was among their band of travelers, they journeyed for a full day while looking for him among their family and friends. When they didn't find Jesus, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple. He was sitting among the teachers, listening to them and putting questions to them. Everyone who heard him was amazed by his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were shocked. His mother said, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Listen, your father and I have been worried. We've been looking for you." Jesus replied, "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that it was necessary for me to be in my Father's house?" But they didn't understand what he said to them. Jesus went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. His mother cherished every word in her heart. Jesus matured in wisdom and years and in favor with God and with people. This is the word of the Lord. As we begin our message this morning, you're welcome to be seated. And I want you to take a look at a brief video clip and see if you can relate. So don't blink. They grow up so fast. Betsy and I can remember a time when people said something like that to us. We were actually young parents once. And now we look back and we have a 35-year-old and a 30-year-old and a couple of granddaughters. And we think, where did the time go? It just went by so quickly. But I also understand that when you're living it, that time may not seem to go by so quickly. And as you're going through the diapers and runny noses and middle of the night feedings, it seems like it will never end. And then they start to crawl around, and then they start to walk, and on that day your life changes. And then that day comes when they go to kindergarten and you stand in the kitchen crying, "What happened to my child?" And then they bring homework home and they ask you to help them with it. I was good till about the third grade, and then they had to go to their mom. And soon you're running the taxi service to all the activities, and they're in high school, and you look at them and you wonder, are they going to be okay? And then they're driving. Yikes! And before you know it, they're moving away, and they're on their own, and you wonder, have I done my job as a parent well? Will they be okay? Then one day, perhaps, you walk them down the aisle, and you think it's over. But of course, it's not. We're always parents. But don't blink. They grow up fast. And what I want to talk about this morning as we focus on this passage from our theme of family this week in our Bible reading, what I want to talk about is how we can make the most of the precious time that we have with our children. And in this sermon, I'm not just talking to those who currently have children at home, but I'm also talking to all of us. Because as parents and grandparents, as adults who are involved in the lives of children, there is precious time for us to influence our children for God. This story at the end of Luke chapter 2 is the only recorded reference we have to the childhood of Jesus. And Luke chooses to give us just a snapshot of Jesus at the age of 12. And he does this, I think, for a few reasons. For one, Luke wants us to see that the Lord Jesus is fully human. God did not send his son into the world as a grown-up. He was born as a baby into a family like we are, a real-life family with all that goes along with that. And like all of us, the God who became one of us experienced all the stages of growing up, including being 12 years old. That awkward time in life when Jesus was not a child anymore, and yet he was not an adult either. In telling this story, Luke wants to show us that Jesus was fully human, but he also wants to show us that Jesus was the Son of God. And sitting there among the teachers outside the temple, Luke tells us that everyone who heard him was amazed by his understanding and his answers. Already at age 12, it was being revealed that he was God's Son. In this little snippet, Luke shows us the humanity of Jesus, and he shows us the divinity of Jesus. But today, I want to focus on something else he shows us. He shows us the parents of Jesus. And as we think about how to make the most of the precious time we have with our kids, Mary and Joseph, I think, in this little story, teach us some valuable things about influencing our children for God. Once again, this morning, we've included some teaching notes in your bulletin, and I would invite you to take those out if you haven't already done so, and to follow along. And you'll notice the first thing that Mary and Joseph show us is that children don't need perfect parents. Children do not need perfect parents. They need parents that are faithful. Jesus has a mother and a father who are not perfect, but they are faithful. Look at verses 41 to 43 again. Each year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to their custom. And after the festival was over, they were returning home, but the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, and his parents didn't know it. Whenever I think of Mary and Joseph, I think of this favorite Christmas movie that came out several years ago called Home Alone. Maybe you saw that. Two families are going on a trip to France. The morning of the flight, they oversleep, and they're all in such a hurry to get everything packed to get to the airport on time that they don't even notice that they've left little Kevin at home in his bed. And it's not until the plane is at 35,000 feet on the way to France that Kevin's mom realizes that Kevin is not with them. And I can still picture her, "Kevin!" I didn't do that so well, but anyway. You know, it's something like this, I think, that happened to Mary and Joseph in this story. It's an 80-mile trip from Nazareth to Jerusalem. It took 3 days to make that trip back then. And usually the pilgrims going to Jerusalem for the Passover traveled together in caravans. Large groups of family and friends, and the women were talking to the women, and the men were talking to the men, and the kids were playing. And it's the end of the first day, time to set up camp for the night, and Mary is looking around. Where is Jesus? "Joseph, do you know where Jesus is?" "No, I thought he was with you." Mary and Joseph remind us that parents aren't perfect, and sometimes parents even forget their kids. One Sunday when we were in Center Hall, I went to church early, and Betsy and our two girls came in a separate car later. And when church was over, Betsy and I both drove home, and one of us had Jennifer, but neither of us had Rachel. And we raced back to the church, and there was Rachel playing in the nursery with another kid, hopefully not one that was left behind. And she didn't even realize that we had left her there. It happens. No parent is perfect. We all make mistakes with our kids. We've all said things that we would like to reel back in. And we've all done things that we later regret. We've all become impatient with kids. Well, Mary and Joseph didn't have it all together. They traveled a whole day while their dear son was still back in Jerusalem. Even the parents of Jesus were not perfect, but kids don't need perfect parents. They need faithful parents. They need faithful grandparents. They need faithful adults who care for them and support them and encourage them. In our call to worship this morning from Deuteronomy chapter 6, these words that were at the center of the Torah, the body of law that guided the life of the Jewish people, we read these words: "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your being, and all your strength. These words I am commanding you must always be on your minds. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you're sitting around the house and when you're out and about, when you're lying down and when you're getting up." We know that Mary and Joseph knew those words. And Mary and Joseph loved the Lord. And Mary and Joseph and the whole community around them were committed to passing their faith on to Jesus. By the time Jesus was 12, things like reading the scripture every day, reciting the family prayers, keeping the Sabbath, giving generously, celebrating holy days, all of these things were already woven into the fabric of his life. And in the same way, we are called to pass on the faith to our children. Whenever parents present a child for baptism, we ask several questions, and one of them is this: will you nurture your child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? parents, grandparents, church family, by your teaching and example, are you guiding children to know God's grace, to profess their faith openly, to lead a Christian life? Are things like Bible reading and prayer, worship and Sunday school, giving and serving, are these things being woven into the fabric of their lives so that they become a strong foundation for them as they grow? I'd like to recite this verse from Psalm 127, verse 3. It's a short one, but it's very important. No doubt about it, children are a gift from the Lord. Our children, they're not really ours. They're a gift from God. They're ours to care for, to enjoy, to teach, to encourage, and so much more. But we need to remember that they belong to the Lord. It is He who made them, and it is He who has given us the responsibility to care for them. Children don't need perfect parents, but they do need faithful parents and other adults in their lives who are faithful as well. Now, another thing we learn about Mary and Joseph in this passage is that children need parents who understand the importance of community. Jesus is part of a much larger community of faithful people that supports His spiritual growth, His faith formation. Picking up the story in verse 44, we see something about this larger community. Mary and Joseph are supposing that Jesus was among their band of travelers, and they journeyed on for a full day while looking for Him among their family and friends. In other words, they didn't find Jesus at the end of the first day, but surely He wasn't left behind. Let's just travel on with our family and friends for a whole other day, and surely He's somewhere in this larger community that supports Him. And then it says in verse 45, when they didn't find Jesus, they returned to Jerusalem to look for Him. And after 3 days, imagine that, after 3 days, they found Him in the temple. He was sitting among the teachers, listening to them and putting questions to them. And everyone who heard Him was amazed at His understanding and His answers. I think Luke wants us to see how connected this holy family is to other faithful people. And he wants us to see that by the age of 12, Jesus was so comfortable in this loving community of faithful people that He even would sit down with the most respected teachers and listen to them and ask questions of them and join with them in conversation. A whole community committed to the spiritual growth of Jesus as a boy. Now, I know that many of you, like me, have been blessed to be part of the church your whole life. Maybe you cannot even remember a time when you were not supported and encouraged in your walk with God by a loving Christian community. Maybe you've been blessed with someone like Dee in your life. Dee was here at First Church one Saturday several months ago when we hosted the District United Methodist Women's Gathering. Dee is now in her early 80s, but when I was in Sunday school, she was my teacher in the crib toddler room. And during the earliest years of my childhood, it was Dee who was there every Sunday for me, lovingly caring for me, teaching me the songs like Jesus Loves Me, teaching me the stories of Jesus. The day Dee was here, she told a few women gathered around the refreshment table, that when I was little, it took me a long time to start talking. But then she said, I tell you what, once Denny started talking, we couldn't get him to stop. And Lori Huffnagel was standing there, and she said, that doesn't surprise me. Sorry, Lori. Perhaps you've been blessed by someone like Dee. Or maybe you've been blessed by someone like Carl and Wally. Not long after our family moved to Grace Church Center Hall, Mary Kay, the choir director, invited my Betsy to join the choir. And Betsy said she liked to, but our girls were 7 and 2. And with me up front every Sunday, she said, I need to sit with the girls in church. Well, Mary Kay said, that's no problem. They can sit with Carl and Wally. Carl was Mary Kay's dad, and Wally was her husband. I don't know if she asked them first if this would be okay, but every Sunday, for 6 years, our daughter Jennifer and our daughter Rachel sat between Carl and Wally in church, and they behaved so well. And then there was that Sunday when the choir didn't sing once a month, and they would sit with Betsy, and she couldn't get them to sit still. Go sit with Carl and Wally, she would say. And they poured themselves out in love for our two girls. Or maybe you've been blessed with someone like Shannon. Shannon was a young teacher who led a small group of high school girls over at the Camp Hill Church when we were there. Our Rachel was going into 9th grade and was not real thrilled about leaving a place that she loved. But from the first days, Shannon was there. And she was such a wonderful mentor for Rachel and other girls in high school. And to this day, Shannon is still pouring herself out in love to help these girls through this season of their life. You know, as I reflect across the years, the list is so long. And perhaps the same is true for you. So many people have been part of that larger community that supported and encouraged us as a family as our kids were growing. And we have such wonderfully loving community here at First Church, too. So many of you committed for so many years to surrounding our children, our youth, our parents with your prayers, with your guidance, with your encouragement. We're never too old. We're never too old to influence a child for God. Our children need parents and grandparents that understand how important it is for their children to be part of a larger community where they can be nurtured in the faith. And Mary and Joseph show us another thing that every child needs. Number 3, as Jesus grows and matures, he discovers the necessity of being in my Father's house. The story continues in verse 48. When Mary and Joseph saw Jesus sitting in the temple with those teachers, they were shocked. And his mother said, Jesus, get your sandal-clad feet on that donkey. We're going home. Or something like that. Obviously, they were upset. They were hurt. They were angry. But at the same time, they had this overwhelming sense of relief. Their lost son was found. And I imagine, too, that those teachers, they were looking over at Joseph and saying, wow, your son, oh, you've done good teaching him the scriptures and such. Jesus gives a strange response to his parents. Why were you looking for me? Well, you're 12 years old and you're here in Jerusalem while we're traveling on. Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that it was necessary for me to be in my father's house? But they didn't understand what he said to them. Now, Jesus was not being disrespectful to his parents. But here in these verses, the child becomes the teacher. That happens sometimes, doesn't it? That we learn from our children important things that we're to learn. They didn't understand completely who Jesus was, but when we read this, we do understand who he was. Jesus has an earthly home, and he has earthly parents. And he loves his home, and he loves his family, and soon he'll go with them back home, and he'll obey them. He'll come under their parenthood. But Nazareth is not his only home. And Mary and Joseph are not his only parents. Of first importance in his life is his relationship with God. His relationship with his heavenly Father and being in his Father's house. My Father's house in this context is referring to the temple in Jerusalem, that place that was at the center of their religious life. But my Father's house is so much more than a building for Jesus. My Father's house is that space where we enjoy communion with our Heavenly Father. Later on in Luke chapter 15, Luke tells a story. Jesus tells a story, as reported by Luke, about another lost boy. A boy who goes off and squanders his inheritance. And in this story, there is a waiting and watching and loving father who sees his son at a distance, who runs out to meet him, who welcomes him with great celebration back into the father's house. More than anything else, that's what we want for our children. That they will discover the necessity, that they will find the joy, the peace, the direction, the hope that is found only in relationship with God. Jesus invites us, all of us, to be faithful stewards of the gift of our children. This short episode from Jesus' childhood ends like this. Jesus went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. His mother cherished every word in her heart. Jesus matured in wisdom and years and in favor with God and with people. Jesus matured in wisdom. That means that his parents were committed to his education. And we have a responsibility for that. Next Sunday, we'll celebrate the accomplishments of our graduating seniors during worship. Education is important, and we want every child to have the opportunity to grow in wisdom. Jesus also grew in years, or grew in stature. He was physically growing up, we're told. And in this story, Jesus is 12 years old, and I think his feet were too big for the rest of his body. And his voice was changing, and he was eating his parents out of house and home, probably. He's moving from being a child to being a man. And as parents, we want our children to grow up strong and healthy and eat well and exercise and get involved in sports and marching band and ballet and everything else like that. And then we're told that Jesus grew spiritually. He grew in favor with God. And as parents, we have a responsibility to make sure that children learn to know and love God. And Jesus grew socially. He grew in favor with people. He was learning how to interact well with others. And as parents, we teach our children how to do that too. It's such an important part of growing up. As parents and grandparents and others who care for children, we're committed to their intellect, to their physical growth, to their spiritual growth, to their social engagement. It's all important. But as we close this morning, I want to ask you, of those four things, which is the most important? There is one of those things that is more important than any other of the three. And if we neglect this one thing, our children will never become the people that God made them to be. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says, "What shall it profit you if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? What shall it profit you if you are brilliant intellectually, or if you are a professional athlete, or if you are a popular celebrity? What shall it profit you if you have all that, but you don't know God, and you don't have a soul that is healthy to deal with the stuff of day-to-day life?" The number one necessity in the life of every child is a relationship with God. It's the number one thing. Everything else is secondary. And decisions that we make today in their lives have an impact on the future of their spiritual life. The most important thing for our children is a relationship with Jesus Christ the Lord. And everything else comes after that. This week we read a small verse from the Old Testament book of Joshua. And I want to ask you this morning to claim this verse as your own. It's on the front of the teaching notes and the bulletin this morning. And it's simply this: "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let's say that together. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." May it be so for all of us, that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so bless the children that God has given to our care.